push it all the way over there. Look at there. That's right up in your face, ain't it? I'm going to get up in y'all's face now, amen? My name is Brother Hal Riley. It is good to be here. It's good to see Brother Paul back there. And let me say something about y'all's association. I get the liberty to travel and connect dots in several places, and you are blessed by a leader there and some pastors in this area who are coming together, working together to pray, and to be a part of the kingdom work that is necessary to see people get saved. I also say to you that a minute ago, that song they just sang is much about tradition and theology, and there's a whole lot packed in that little song. And the reality of coming this week for revival is I believe that there's a desire in the hearts of people to see something of yesterday that we need today so that tomorrow will be better. Amen. In the mix of that, I just challenge you this week before we ever get started. Pray, and I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Wisdom, discernment. It's not about a preacher who comes. You can get a shiny-toed shoe and a poofy hairdo and a nice suit, and I'm glad I don't have to wear one here, amen. But if it's necessary to preach a word, I'd have wore one. And the reality is this. We can sing a lot of songs. We can do a lot of stuff. We can have a meeting, but that doesn't mean we're going to have revival. So we got to pray. Second in that is, I would just say to you, pray for your pastor. If you're visiting tonight, I know that these folks will be welcoming to you. They've been welcoming to me. It's hospitable. I'm glad I live in Kentucky, but I'm glad to visit you all. Amen. Now in the mix of it, a minute ago, I just got to clarify something. I've been harassing and picking on the musicians earlier. Now, I got to say something. Are y'all awake back there? Let me ask this. In Kentucky, especially in West Kentucky, when they come into agreement, somebody will say amen. Y'all do that here? Some of y'all ain't did that before. It's okay to say amen. Or it's okay to say hallelujah. Because here's the deal. The more you do that, the quicker I'll get done. It's like winding up a toy dog. Amen. You just keep cranking on it, it'll get across the table. But let me ask, I was picking on the musicians earlier, and I don't know what y'all are used to. If y'all are used to hymnals and those kind of songs, or you're used to praise music, they did a fine job tonight, amen, and they've ushered us into the presence of the Lord. But I'm kind of worried or concerned, or at least curious, might be even a better word for it, on whether or not they like those hymns, because they went through that and so fast, I don't know if they wanted to stay on it very long, amen. That's the fastest I've ever sung that. What'd you call that we was doing, the ting-tong or the ping-pong? The what? Boom-tick. Boom-chick. So if they say boom-chick, get ready, you're going to run out of breath. Amen? Anybody else need oxygen? Hello. I'm a fat kid. You can't do that to a fat kid. Turn over with me to 1 Kings chapter 17. I like to have fun because God's good to us. Amen? Life is a joy when you got Jesus, and the reality is when we come together, it ought to be an exciting time and a joyful time in the Lord because we have His presence and we got believers around us. Amen. I'm not here this week, and I know that when we have revival, a lot of times we come with the expectation that the guy from out of town is going to come preach. There's going to be some folks get saved, and we'll see revival. We'll be happy for a week or two. The end result is we go back to the norm, and the recognition is we're still not anywhere where we need to be. Amen or oh me. And so there's nothing wrong with scheduling a meeting. Matter of fact, we need to schedule a meeting, but what we need to do is respond to what God wants us to do. I like to go to the Old Testament. It's a picture, a mirror of the New Testament life for believers. There's some things back there that we need to pay attention to because it helps us as believers move on in the life that we're in. Oftentimes we avoid it because it's tough and it's difficult to talk about, but you'll see some things in the Old Testament that'll be a blessing to you if you latch on to them. Here's the deal. The Israelites, God's people, been set free. Some things are going on. I'm going to go through a little quick synopsis of where we're getting to. They get in the mix and some things are happening and they say, Lord, we want a king. God said, you don't want a king. Yeah, we do. No, you don't. Yeah, we do. No, you don't. And then God said, okay, you can have what you want. In the book of Kings, 1 and 2 is a historical record of what happens when God's people got what they wanted. Amen.
The reality is, in the world we live in, we're setting in a stage in the era that we're in the church, in life, in America, around us. We're getting what we asked for. Till we recognize that, listen to me, till we recognize that, we can't get past it. There's a little spot in this process that reflects the church in America today and the people around us. If you jump back over to chapter 16, there's been several transitions with kings and folks and leadership of the Israelites, and some things are happening. But in verse 21 of 16, it says, "Then were the people of Israel divided into two parts. Nobody settled in unity, therefore they need revival." They got two attitudes. They got two doctrinal divisions. They've got two personalities. They've got two problems. They're just not on the same page. Can I tell you when the church grew in the New Testament? When they got on the same page. In the mix of it, it says these words over in verse 30. They walk through this and identify these kings, and it says, "And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him." Let that sink in for just a minute. The king, the leader, the people that said that they did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before them. I don't know of a time in my life, and I'm not very old, and when you talk to other folks and pastors of yesteryear, and the reality is America's in trouble and we're in worse shape. We've done worse, more evil than's been marked in history before on the planet, at least on this continent. And in the church, step down to 33. It says, "Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him." Folks, it's getting pretty bad. And I don't know about you, but we live in circumstances where it could be today that God would have perfect liberty to have His anger kindled against us, even as believers as we sit here today. And the problem with that is it does not drive us to holiness. It does not drive us to the altar. It does not drive us to brokenness. It does not drive us to the reality of where we sit. Therefore, we need the presence of the Lord and some things to happen. Don't depend on me this week for that to happen. But I want you to see in this pattern, stand with me if you would, in honor of reading God's Word, chapter 17. God sends a message through humanity, through the messenger. And He does some things in this passage that I promise you tonight, if we get a hold of as believers, it might just help us tonight. There's a couple of things in this passage, and I want you to hear me say this, that if we're responsive to it, because here's what I know, the pattern of people, because of where we sit in the evilness, if we'll listen and respond to the pattern of what God does, it can change our lives. Amen or oh me. Did you come this week, listen to me, with anticipation? Did you come to the house of God with expectation from the Lord for Him to work? And I don't mean because you prayed that God would do a work in other people. I mean that we came with an expectation to meet with Holy God on the planet in this place, and that because He is here and it's relational, you and I are connected to Him, that He desires to do a work in us. The Word of God is effectual. The Scripture says it does not go out. It does go with a purpose and a plan. It cuts to the very bone and marrow, the life source of who we are. And the problem is we do not respond, as I shared with the pastors this morning, to the voice of God anymore. So it's my prayer tonight that you not respond to the preacher, not to Cadet Baptist or Baptist Life or anything else. I pray that we would respond to the very voice of the living God in what He speaks to our hearts individually. 17:1, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the raven to feed thee there. So he went and did, listen. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Went and dwelt at the brook of Cherith, that is, before Jordan, and the raven brought him bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while, the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, that belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I commandeth a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I gather two sticks, that I may go in and dress it before me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. And thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Let's pray. Father God, would you give us liberty one more time to meet in this place with you. Father, we invite, we expect, Lord, we want, we desire that your presence be known in our midst. God, I pray right now that you'd help us to hear from heaven. God, I pray that you'd hide me behind the cross and nobody see me, but they'd see you. Lord, you must be exalted and lifted up, and I must decrease tonight, Lord, and I pray that that'd happen. Father, unashamedly, under the power and authority of the shed blood of Jesus, we demand and command that the enemy flee. He has no right in their business being here. And Father, under that shed blood, we rebuke him in Jesus' name. Lord, would you, in the invitation, help us to be mindful. It's an invitation from you to meet in this place, a holy God. And may we respond to the very living Word of God. May we say when we leave this place, it's been good. Be in the house of the Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the mix of this, there's a messenger that comes, and God gives him liberty to share. And in that message, he looks at Ahab, the wicked one, and says, God is going to give you liberty to understand something. He said, the rain's going to dry up. It's not going to happen. There's not anything good fixing to come about. Can I tell you that there are times in our lives, church? Can I tell you in our lives, folks, as individuals, there are times that God will get your attention by drying things up? It might be your bank account. It might be your relationships. It might be the things that you hold dear. I don't know about you, but in the desert, water is pretty dear. Amen? And in the mix of it, I want you to know that God's a jealous God and He desires some things. And in the mix of that, sometimes we need to be told, God's about to dry your stuff up. And the truth of the matter is, I've been from church to church, and there's a real reality that whether anybody's expressed it or not, there's some things that are dried up. The power of God. The only one that can bring rain is God. Amen? The only one that can reference the Holy Spirit in your life and show up and show out is God. So you can't muster it up. You can't do anything to do it to deserve it. God is the one in control of that. But the reality is sometimes He wants to get our attention. He wants to clang that bell. He wants to get a hold of us. He wants to share with us because of what we've done. Let's just be honest. We don't talk about sin anymore. We don't preach about stuff we've done anymore. We don't get real about the fact that we are His people. He is a jealous God and He deserves the best out of us. And when it's not what it ought to be, God can change the atmosphere in the world we live in to get our attention. Has he got your attention lately? The question is, what are you going to do about it? You see, we've got numb in America in the church, and as I shared with the men this morning, sometimes we've forgotten to listen and respond to what God has said. Good old-fashioned revival will come, nothing more, nothing less. Listen to me. Obedience to the Word. And when that happens, listen to me, it's not going to be normal. I'm convinced to say that now. Verse 2, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him." Can I tell you what we need in our pulpits? Can I tell you what we need in our churches? And we've watered it down. We need the Spirit of God to bring the Word of God to people. Not doctrine. Don't take me wrong when I say that. Too often we want to share what we want people to hear rather than what God needs to tell us from the Word of God. There's a huge difference in that. We're not here, and the men behind the pulpits are not here to clamor and to prove to you they know something. What we need is an old-fashioned word from God. What you need, what I need, what every pastor needs, what every church needs. Oh God, would you speak? He gets a word from the Lord and he says, in the mix of this, "Get thee hence and turn thee eastward." He gives him direction. "Hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is by Jordan." Now listen. He gives him instruction and then he tells him what's going to happen. Let me say this. If God gives you instruction, He's going to make provision for the instruction. Too often, here's the problem. We come, God gives us instruction, and we get real spiritual and start praying and saying, "God, I think you can do that. Maybe you'll do that." God gives them instruction. He said, "You go down there by the creek. Everybody else, the rain's quit. But church, you need to get down by the creek, by the source. You need to get where God's working." You see, here's the deal. We keep telling God, "Hey God, come over here. God, come to the church house." You know why those old-fashioned tent revivals used to work and the message in it that she was singing a minute ago? Because they just got in the middle of town, spread the Word of God, and God did what He did, and it wasn't about somebody particular's church or the wants of the people in the pews. Now we can say amen. We can shake our head. But we put ourselves in position to say, "God, please me. God, provide what I want. God, provide it the way I want it. God, you do for us." And God told Elijah, He said, "Elijah, I want you to get up and I want you to go down there by the creek." Y'all got creeks up here? They keep saying that thing down there is a river. You come down to Kentucky, we'll show you a river. Hey man, that Ohio is a booger. Woo! And it matches up with the Mississippi. It's big. I can't swim across it. It's big. But He says, "Go sit by the creek." And He says, "By the way, I'm going to do something that's going to blow your mind." He said, "I've been feeding you, but I'm going to keep on feeding you while everybody else is struggling." You want to know what will make the church excited? When you recognize that Holy God's doing something for you that the rest of the world doesn't have a liberty in. Did y'all catch that? Did you know that being here, that God wants to feed us and lost people don't have that liberty? The Scripture says the things of the Spirit are not able to be received of carnal man. God wants to feed you real good, but we shun it. He says, "You go down there and I'm going to send this big bird down there. While everybody else is starving, He's going to swing by with a Big Mac. Whee! And He's going to bring one in the morning and He's going to bring one in the evening. And I'm going to take care of you." Listen, I want you to understand something. His instructions are momentary and temporary to what He wants to do at the moment. If you'll do the first step because you heard the Word of God, He'll take care of what you're doing in that step. Did y'all catch that? The problem is we don't ever want to take the first step. God, just bless me if you can. We're praying for a revival. God, you just do it. Can I help you with something? He's already at work. He's already got provision. The reason we're not excited, we don't have joy in our faith, if you go over to Romans chapter 15, He says that I may come to you by the will of God, with joy. You know what that precursor says? You ain't going to have joy if you ain't doing the will of God. Reason you need revival is you've rejected what God told you go and do. And it's important, listen, it's important to other people's lives. So they go down by the creek. And he sits there and he gets his Big Mac. And the water dries up. And listen, we heard him one time at church. There's been a time in your life, listen to me, you got up and came to an old-fashioned altar somewhere and you got saved. I know you heard from God. Because if you came down here and you didn't hear from God, you ain't saved. Hello? Work with me. Everybody listening to it. Don't miss what I just said. My wife came down the altar when she's 14 years old. They signed a card, put her in the water. She never heard from God. When she's about 23, knelt down beside the bed in our house out of terror because the fear of the Lord had showed her that she was lost and undone, headed to hell, and she responded to the Word of God, and she got saved. There's too many people in our churches that have done stuff, and we've not responded to the Word of God. But if you responded to the Word of God, you know you've heard the voice of God. And you know that in that voice of God, He's made provision for that first step. Amen or oh me. Beyond that, some of you in your life, God's challenged you. He's channeled you. He said, hey, I want you to go knock on the door. I want you to teach a class. I want you to sing. I want you to play them drums. I want you to go bake a pile of bread and take it to somebody. And you know what you did? You listened. And you got up. And you did what God said, and He blessed your socks off because He made provision in it. Amen or oh me. But you sit here now, listen to me. And some of that's dried up. That's old news. That's over. He's done with that. But the reality is you've refused, listen to me, you've refused to listen to any more new instruction. What's God want you to do? What's He speaking to your heart? We can come preach the socks off of it. And the reality is, Holy God's speaking, but if we don't want to listen, if we want to play around with it, we're going to sit by a dry brook trying to figure out what life's all about, and we'll be in the same position as the lost people out there. Did y'all catch that? Aren't you glad, though? There'd been no rain in the land. They were parched. There were things going on. And revival's coming because it says this. Listen, in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him. That's twice. You know where we've dried up in our churches? The old-fashioned Word of God. Let me challenge you with this. You want to know why I know you need revival? Look at me. I'm not being ugly. I've come here because God told me to just be plain. You got a half a dozen of these at the house. Amen. We got every color and every flavor. They got all kinds of letters on the back of them, but we don't know what the letters say on the inside of them. We don't study it regularly. We're doing good if we have to be harassed. Listen to me. Just be honest about it. Be harassed to come to the house of God to hear the Word of God. We have to be challenged to join in Bible school, or challenged or frustrated to come to Sunday school, and we feel discouraged and the preacher's coming again. Can I tell you what'll change that? Getting the Word of God. Know what it says. Receive what it says. I promise you this, it changes everything. If you ain't figured it out yet, before the end of this week, you're going to know something. I'm excited about the blessed book because it's my instructions. And guess what? It's your instructions too. And if you want to learn how to live in the parameters of what the book says, God's Word says, and I promise you He'll bring revival to your life. It's not some kind of program. It's not some kind of process. It's not some kind of deal that we have at the church. Revival comes when we're responsive to the Word of God. And it says Elijah got a word from the Lord again. So he had something going on. Listen, the brook dried up. It's time for a new instruction, time for revival, time for something else. And God spoke to him. Aren't you glad He doesn't leave us out there hanging? Aren't you glad that He knows when it's dried up in your life? Aren't you glad that He desires to give you more instruction? Listen, He said, get up, go into town. There's a widow woman there. When you get there, tell her that I sent you. So he got up. Now listen, Verse 10. He says, go and a widow woman to sustain you. Did y'all catch that? Now look at verse 10. So he arose and went. Listen to me. God's spoken to you in days past. The Holy Spirit's conviction came upon you sitting in this building, in a Sunday school class, somewhere else. And God spoke to you. But you know what we do? Elijah says he got up and went. Can I tell you something? God gave us a command like that to everybody. He said, go. And you can't stay and go at the same time. You can't be obedient if you're not going. Hello? There is an absolute response to what God desires for your life. He's not just going to magically bless your heart. He's going to bless it through your obedience. He said, I desire obedience over sacrifice. You can come and put money in the plate. You can be here every time the doors are open. You can say you're being obedient to God. But unless you're responsive to the Word of God, doing what He's asked, you will not experience His power and presence the way that you want to and you need to. So he gets up and he goes. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks. God said it would happen. Guess what? If he tells you to get up and go, he's going to take care of what he told you to get up and go to. And he told her there'd be a widow woman down there. And guess what? God don't lie. If God lies, this whole thing's a waste of time. He's coming back. I'm going with him. You want to go with me? Better understand what the Word says. In the mix of it, he finds her and he calls to her and he says, he's reflecting on what God's told him, so he immediately speaks to it. Can you understand? We've been run off from speaking to what God's doing in us and through us. What do I mean by that? Well, there's some stuff that goes on in religion today, in Christianity, that's made us fear speaking. That he looks at her and says this, fetch me. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, because I'm thirsty. God said you's going to take care of me, so he just spoke to it and said, go get me some water. You see, one of the reasons we don't have revival is because we can't speak to what God's already doing in us. We're not willing to get up here and get up out of the altar and say, God wants me to go overseas. God wants me to preach. I don't know about in Missouri, but it's been a long time since we've seen very many people come to the altar of God and say, God's calling me. You have to, preacher, you tell somebody when he called you. Did you tell somebody when he, you follow what I'm saying? He spoke to it. So he calls out this lady and says, honey, go get me some water. She's a widow woman. You want to talk about a miracle? Listen to me. God don't do things that make sense. God don't do things that are in the economy of the rest of the world. First of all, he's gone to a widow. She ain't got nothing in her pocket. She ain't supposed to be talking to other men because she's a widow woman. Somebody's supposed to be in her backyard taking care of her. But yet God used somebody who ain't got nothing to take care of His people, because God will use whatever He wants to in the world to do whatever He wants to do if we'll just listen. And He looks at the little lady and she grabs it and she heads in and He says, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. She's gathering two sticks. Can you see this picture of this little lady? Down and out. Did you know that your obedience affects everybody? Amen. Who's being, listen to me. We'll get real close to this here in just a second. Who's being affected because you're just sitting on the stump at church not doing what God asked you to do? Let's get down where it really matters. Is it your family? Is it your friends? She says, look, dude, I'm gathering a couple of sticks here. I ain't got no bread. I'm fixing to go take what I got. I got a little meal and a little oil. I'm going to go make a cake. Now listen to what it says, because I'm going to get home right here. In verse 12. And I've got these that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, now listen, that we may eat it and die. There's two sad points in that. Listen to me. We live in a world with no hope. He's an Israelite. Not sure about this lady. I'm not a theologian, so some of these things, I just know what the picture says right at the moment. And in this picture, it says she don't have much and she's lost hope. Can I tell you that there are people in this county that are on dope, that are in jail, that are drinking, that are hooked on pornography, that are abusing each other? You know why? Because they've come to a portion in life where they see no hope and all they can deal with is today. And God wants them to experience His power and His presence. So in that, He wants us to get connected to Him. He wants to use our life and what He's doing in us to affect them. Hello? And that contact, that connection, that process may even draw something out of them for what God wants to do, but the end result is it's going to bless them. I want you to see something though. They're desperate and hopeless. You got anybody in your family that's hopeless? You got anybody in your neighborhood that's hopeless? You got anybody at the church, listen to me, don't miss this one, that's hopeless? I want you to catch something. This little lady is hopeless in the fashion. Not only is the world messed over and she don't have nothing, hello, but she's also in a state of loneliness. Can you understand me that you can be in this building today? You know why 1 in 3 people are trying to commit suicide? Is because we can be in a crowd and we don't have an answer, and because of that we're still lonely. There are people all around you that are lonely. And they need, listen to me, they need to see the power of God as it's worked out in us. And so he says, she said, yes, but we're going to go back and die. We'll shift in this picture for just a second and put it on the church for half a second. The unfortunate problem is this. Some of us had a little of Jesus. The oil and the meal is a picture of the bread and the Holy Spirit. The Word, and we got just enough to make it. Look at me. It means you just got saved, and that's it. And you've sat down and you've come to the point, and here's the deal. What she's saying, church people, we're in the same position sometimes, is I'm okay and my kid's okay, and we're just going to come to church and we've got just enough of Jesus, and we're just going to sit here until we die. And our churches are full of folks that are riding a pew, just waiting, preacher, just waiting to go to glory, and never doing with what God gave them so He can multiply it and change other people's lives. What are you doing for Jesus? You said you're saved, but what you've done is you've settled in for the meagerness of life and said, I'm okay, I'm just going to sit here and die. And to be honest with you, what happens is we even do it as churches. We say, we're all here, we're good. Me and my folk, me and my people, me and our Cadet Baptist, we're good. To hell with them. We're just going to wait until heaven comes down. In the mix of it, in that hopeless state, listen. Elijah said unto her, listen, fear not. He got a hold of her face to face and he says, don't you worry about that, just a minute, you trust me. Here's the problem with that. Can anybody in this world, because you're a believer and you've heard from God, trust you? We don't put ourselves in right position to be trusted so that they can understand and see and experience what God can do in their life. You know why? Because we're some of those just hanging out to die. He said, fear not, listen. Y'all have to forgive me, my eyeballs ain't working good no more. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Can I tell you what's wrong? It's our order. If we'll give our life, listen to me, if we'll give our life to God, He'll take care of all the rest of it. What we do is we want to take care of everything and then give it to God. We want to take our little meal and our little oil and say, God, I'm just going to take, and then we, no, He said, don't you worry about nothing. It's an act, listen to me, of total surrender. An act, listen, there's some of us in the church tonight, the reason we have no joy, no peace, and we have hopelessness, and we're just here, and we're riding it out, is because we've never come to the point, and it happens all around us, that we've come to the point where we have totally surrendered and said, I am trusting you, God. Until that happens, you can't see the miracles of God in your life. Some of you are sitting here, and you've trusted Him just a little bit. This lady had to trust this process because it meant either way she was going to die. You're going to die with God or you're going to die without Him? She was fixing to die without Him because she wouldn't turn loose. He said, you don't worry about it. You trust Him. He'll take care of it. Now look what happens when that takes place. My soul, I might get excited. Because He said in verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Can I tell you what you need to quit doing? Look at me. You need to quit telling everybody your opinions. They won't get people to heaven. You need to quit telling them what Baptists think. That won't help them in the glory. You need to tell them what the book says. And if you don't know what the book says, you can't help anybody else in this world. Elijah did not give the news report from the 5 o'clock news. He didn't give a social report from Politico. He didn't give somebody's heritage report from the Baptist Faith and Message. He said, this is what God says. Thus saith the Lord. You want to see people's lives saved? You tell them what the book says. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. If we'll tell them what the Word says, God will miraculously reach down out of glory, build their faith in the process where they can reach out and grab a hold of what God wants to do, and by faith in action, they can receive the blessings and life of God. And it says this, hang on, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the crucible of oil fail, until the day the Lord sendeth rain upon earth. Until God takes over, till it's back to heaven, so to speak, until you get where you're supposed to be, the Word won't fail you, and the Holy Spirit won't leave you. That's what He's saying right there. But the only way to get that is to trust Him with your life. Now, and she, write this down, 15. And she went and did. Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. She heard it and she went and did. Look at me. Some of you have heard over and over again, had a conversation with a man today. He knows the book forward and backwards. He knows what the church is like forward and backwards. The problem is the moment of surrender where you just go and do what God says. Church, we've not seen that lately. God tells you on a regular, get up and go pray. Ain't going to do it. It's time to go home and eat chicken. God said, go across the road, and that person that's mad at you, go hug them around the neck. Ain't going to do it. They ought to be mad anyway. Should I go on? You see, there's small little increment steps where we just say no to God that we lose His power and presence in our life because we've been disobedient. I'm fitting to get excited now. She went and did. When you're obedient, listen to me, to the voice of God and the Word of God, people's lives are miraculously changed and saved. Watch this. Watch this. And she went and did, according to the saying of Elijah, and he and her house, did eat many days. I don't know how long it takes to make a biscuit, but it couldn't have been more than 20 minutes. Y'all tracking with me? A minute ago, she was only concerned about her and one of the people at the household. But because she was obedient, they had even been left out. There's people in your family you ain't even thought about that are lost and undone, going to hell. There are people in your neighborhood you don't recognize, that you just worried about what's going on. She went and did what she was supposed to. Listen to me, grandkids, great-grandkids, nieces, nephews, all kinds. There's a bunch of people in this house. And because she moved, church, when we move to God, the rest of the world can be changed and people can be saved. It says not only did her, it indicates Elijah, it indicates her whole household, not just her and the boy, but there's a boatload of people whose lives were changed and saved because she was obedient. Could it be that one of these days we'll stand before the Lord and He said, I'm going to judge those of you who are saved. Listen to me. For every idle word and deed. The things that I told you to go and do, the things I challenged you with, the things I pricked your heart about, that you denied or you just passed over. He said, He's going, I don't understand all that. But I'll give you some HR theology. Look at me. There's a passage of Scripture that says there'll be 30 minutes of silence in heaven. You know what I believe that is? I believe that's the response of God's people after the judgment. Because there's not one thing you can say. There's not one thing that you can do to justify our laziness. Our lack of obedience. There's not one thing you can say, because here's the amazing thing about it. We don't deserve to hear from God in the mix of all of it anyway. We don't deserve the book to get the Word of God anyway. We don't deserve His presence and power in our life anyway. We don't deserve the Holy Spirit never failing us, nor leaving us, nor forsaking us. We don't deserve that the power of God and His Word is true day to day to day to day. His joy in us. We don't deserve it, but He gives it to us anyway. Now watch this. Verse 16. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the crucible fail, according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord said it. They were responsive and they saw a miracle in front of them. Let's move beyond the physical salvation in it for a minute. These people were going to die. I want you to stop and think for just a minute about all those around you. Because God's people who have the message of God and the Word of God have not intervened and given them instruction that they might be saved. Let's go beyond that to our pews and our seat where we're at tonight, and the reality is we've settled in, we've snuggled in, we've got just enough, and we've said, I'm okay, they're okay, everything's okay. Can I tell you something? It's not okay. Here's what I know. In this building, and I want you to look at me for just a minute and I'll close. If you've been praying or you've been challenged and you're here and it's a conscious decision, I believe it's because God's at work. I believe it's because God needed to get a hold of our hearts as believers. Now, I don't know about Missouri, but in Kentucky, these altars are dry and barren these days. There used to be a time, and I shared with the pastors this morning, that people would go plant their nose in the altar of God and cry out to God and say, oh God, please. There were times when people, I've been in meetings where the altar would be full, where man after man, woman after woman would gather with other people and they would pray for people that were lost, not just for problems and issues, but for the salvation of those that they saw and sensed were dying. These people in the Scripture were in a dry and desert land. No rain's coming. Death is imminent. The problems are there. I don't have anything. I'm hopeless. And they need the love of Jesus and the Word of God. Can I tell you what I found across our land in our churches? We don't care anymore. With every head bowed and every eye closed, Nobody looking around. I just want to challenge you tonight. The altar's open. Truth of the matter is, I don't know how to give the invitation. I believe with all my heart there are a multitude of you in here that you've settled in. And as a believer, you be honest tonight and say, I got just enough. I know I'm saved. Listen to me clearly. I know I'm saved. But you've just given up on life. And tonight, listen to me. If you want to see revival in the church, you need to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God wants you to do something. He wants something different from your life. He wants you to join this church. It will not happen until you give up and give in. Till you turn loose of it like she turned loose of everything she had a hold of. If that's you, would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? You'd say, that's me, preacher. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but I need to turn loose and let go tonight. What is it? If that's you, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Thank you. I see that. Somebody else. Thank you. I see that. Can I tell you the altar's open tonight? If He spoke to your heart, come. The rest of us, listen to me. You're here tonight and you're in imminent danger. The world is messed up. Whether we want to recognize it or not, listen, whether you believe it or not, we're under judgment. What do you mean, preacher? Is something going to happen in America? No, listen to me. If you're in the world and you're a sinner, if you've done wrong against God, listen to me, you're under the judgment of God, and the only way to fix it is the Word of God. And He said, whosoever, that means you and me, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you believe in your heart, God came, sent His Son, died on the cross, got Him up out of the grave, confess with your mouth that you believe that, you shall be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never done that and you realize tonight that you're sitting on the edge of death. Last Friday, a man, 46 years old, got sick to his stomach in the building I was working on. Listen to me. You may not have it tomorrow, but when you know that you're lost, you need to respond to it. He took 3 steps and hit the ground. And at age 46, he left the planet. If you're here tonight and you've never given your heart and life to Christ, I'll ask you to do something for me. Would you slip your hand up? What I said a minute ago, it resonated in your spirit. It resonated in your heart that you're just like the widow woman. You're dying. You're hopeless. You're empty. Would you slip your hand up so I can pray for you? Anybody? That being the case, I challenge all of you. My heart to yours from the Word of God. What is God asking you to do? If it's not be saved, if you're here and you didn't raise your hand, that's an indication you're saying, all of you are saying, that I'm saved. Then what is God asking you to do? It's time that the church surrenders in obedience to God. Maybe it's come join this church. Maybe it's come ask forgiveness. Maybe it's hug somebody around the neck. Maybe it's to come and say, God's calling me to something. Maybe it's to just surrender drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be. Just surrender and say, okay, God, I can't do it anymore. I'm yours. Don't miss that opportunity tonight to respond to a true and living God because of the Word of God. Father, I pray. Father, for folks in this building tonight, we desperately need to see Your power and presence in revival. It will only happen, Father, based on Your Word and because You've had us to respond to You. Would You give us that liberty tonight? In Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand all over the building? The altar's open. I'm not going to beg you this week. I'm not going to coerce you. God has spoken. Respond to God as they sing, whatever God asks you to do. Maybe you need to come grab the pastor by the hand and pray with him. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need to get an altar, but do whatever God asks you to do tonight. Don't wait. So he got up and went. She went and did. What's God asking you to do tonight? Do you mean it? We sing it over and over again in our churches, but we don't really mean it. God, take my life. Do with it what you want to. I'm singing it, but I don't mean it, God. What's He asking you to do? Somebody you need to go visit. Maybe you're not being obedient in tithing. If you'll surrender it, He'll bless it. Maybe your attendance in church is waning and you know the Word of God tells you to do it. If you'll surrender to it, God will make a way for it. Whatever God asks you to do tonight, would you come? Bring it before the Father? Maybe you've forgotten the hope that He gave you. Maybe you're just sitting here. I challenge you. Worship Him tonight because of the hope that He's given you in Jesus Christ. Can't you imagine how exciting it was for those folks? What's God asking you to do tonight?
Save you, He will save you.
I want to challenge you before Brother John shares with you anything in closing. Some of you this week have been prompted. I want you to recognize these folks that are dying. You got neighbors. You got friends. You got people you work with. You got family members. And here's how I know the devil works. God said, hey, won't you invite them? And you said, well, they got to work. Go knock on that door. Well, I don't know if they'll receive me. That church member that's not here, listen to me. God brought them to your mind, and he may not have been completely clear, but he wants you to contact them. And you say, well, they're mad. I don't know if they'll. I want to challenge you between tonight and tomorrow night. You just do whatever God's laid on your heart to do, and I promise you he'll blow your mind. Amen. Don't stand there like a stump. He says in that scripture, she got up and went. He went and did. Whatever it is, when you leave this place, you go do it. God will blow your mind. Brother John?
We just want to praise God for Him speaking to us tonight. And I just pray that each one of us can leave this place in the right place with God. If there's still more business that you need to do with God, you need somebody to pray with or whatever, as people are getting ready to leave, I make myself available for anybody who wants to take me by the hand. And off to the side, I know Brother Bill's always available, and Brother Harold, just any of the elders here in the church. I want you to just have a right heart with God. Amen? That's really where we need to be. And I think the message tonight was just so clear that to trust and obey, right? Just like the song says, is the only way to be happy in Jesus, is to trust and obey. And so really, just want us to really take that home with us tonight. Even as we're here, we're still gathered, I'd like to do one more song. And as we do this last song, I'd like to take up an offering for the night as well. This is to help with the music and the Brother Harold coming to be with us at the end of the week. We'll split this up between the two of them. But even during this song, as I have a couple ushers come forward, a couple volunteer ushers that would like to help with the offering. Brother, go ahead, Roger, come on up. And do I have another? Ben, you want to help out? You guys, come on up. We're going to pray over it. But even at this time, I don't want to just get focused on that. If there's something else that you need to bring to the altar or have prayer with, please use this as an opportunity to do that. Let me pray over the offering and pray over your hearts. And at the end of this song, we'll have one final prayer, just to kind of bless everybody as they go home. But I want to thank you for coming. Please continue to come back. I want you to get every blessing that the Lord has for you. But let's pray over this offering now. Dear Father, we just want to lift up the offering to you tonight. Thank you, Lord, that your word has been brought forth clearly. Lord, we do see that widow would have never known what would have happened if she wouldn't have obeyed you. I truly believe that widow would have never known. Elijah would have never known and seen that miracle had he not obeyed you. It had to be so humbling for him to go to that widow and say, give me the last of your food, and then worry about yourself. But he knew that you would not fail in your word. We know that too, Lord. So help us to be bold. I pray that you bless this offering, Lord, to bless those that are helping to lead us in this revival. And Lord, bless the hand of the giver as well, because when we obey, when we give a portion, we give some of the first fruit. And just like in this story, you will multiply the rest. And you do it every time. We can't outgive you. So this offering is unto you, Lord, to help take care of your servants. And so we want to praise you, Lord. Praise you for this opportunity. And if there's any unfinished business in people's hearts during this last song, they want to bring it to the altar or come up and pray with me or someone else, Lord, I pray that they'll feel free to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, prepare me. Yes, amen. Would you please close us in a word of prayer?